I just said, well, I can go again, and, you know, it's just foolishness. I'm Satan's, I don't know, his doings, and can't get me. He thinks he's going to get my soul, but he's not.
That's right.
And praise the Lord, I come to the Lord's house.
That's right.
To ask him for forgiveness and to give me some strength and directions in my life.
Man.
That's good, right? We can be behind that. Gertie, would you come up here, too? I just want to tell Albert that God loves you. He really does. And the only way, and you're right, you know, it's what we said earlier, you can't do this on your own. You've tried it. It's not going to be about treatment. It's not going to be about any book you read. No. It's only going to be about giving your life to Jesus and completely surrendering to him. And he's going to give you the power and the strength that you could never, ever muster up on your own. There's a lot of people here who know that. I know that's true myself.
Right.
And you belong here. So I want you to know that beyond any shadow of the doubt, you belong here. You're part of the body of Christ. You belong to Jesus.
I knew that when I was a child. I knew I was God's children.
Yep.
And I wanted to see my parents instead of go walk with the Lord because you had parents.
Amen.
And so I came back to earth and stayed with my parents.
Yeah.
And seen them when they rest.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to pray a prayer.
Yes.
And I want you to say the words after me. We're going to ask Jesus to come into your heart.
Okay.
We're going to turn our lives over to him and ask him for forgiveness. And there's going to be a brand new Albert, whole new person. Okay, and he's going to all the past. Just like he's done for all the rest of us who don't know or who do know him. Thank you. Come on in. We are going to believe today that our sins are forgiven. You know what he says? He says he doesn't remember them anymore. You remember the stuff you've done. God doesn't remember it anymore.
He doesn't want to know either.
Nope, it's done. He's dealt with it, right? So you don't need to remember it anymore. So I want you just to say after me, pray this prayer.
Right.
Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
I ask you into my heart.
I ask you into my heart and soul.
And I ask you to forgive me.
And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me on my knees.
Yeah, and I surrender my life to you, Jesus.
I surrender everything in my life for you, Jesus.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your joy and your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your power.
And your power, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, that you accept me.
Thank you, Jesus, that you will accept me.
And I am a child of God.
And I am a child of God.
I am a son of the King.
Son of that King.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
And amen.
And all the people said, amen.
Hallelujah. You're a good, good father. And you've loved Albert for many years. And now is his day to stand and be the man that you've created him to be. God, we just pray the power of your Holy Spirit just to fill him from top of his head to tip of his toes. Lord, you have gifts in this man. Just bring them forth. Show him, Lord, what you have for him to do and the path that you have for him to, raise him up, Lord. Fill him up. Bless him. Encourage him. And, life is good for him now, Lord. Just bless him. All of the gifts that you have for him, Lord, just bring them forth and set him completely, totally, once and for all free in the powerful name of the risen Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Albert. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for being a loving God.
Yes, yes. Always.
Welcome. Welcome to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much. You belong. For your help.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen? Amen. You say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One more in the kingdom. You know, and sometimes we twiddle our thumbs. We go, that was okay. That was nice. But I got to tell you that right now, the Bible says that there are angels in heaven. There are angels in heaven, thousands upon thousands of them. And they're saying, thanks be to God. Hosanna, hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. This one who is lost is found. This one who is blind can see. This one who is addicted is free. Amen. Hallelujah. And soon we're going to have a baptism. Albert, we're going to go to the river here in a few weeks. And we're going to tell you about it. It's time to get baptized. It's going to be cold. All right. And you're going to come out filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, no, it's going to be great. And I know there's some of the rest of you that are waiting for that day. And it's going to, just let me finish here. It's going to happen probably the first or the second week in September. That's sort of the date we're looking at, just as the summer winds down and people start coming back. So look forward to this. This is life-altering. This is something that changes your life. There's power in the event itself because you come out filled with the Holy Spirit. You come out completely changed and washed, and your sins are gone down the Red Deer River. There's lots of dirty stuff that goes down the Red Deer River, but nothing was more dirty than my sins when I went into there, into that river. And the good thing is that it's your sins that are forgiven, past and present and future, even the future, covered in the blood of Jesus. Amen. So tell your neighbors and tell your friends, because this is something that they can't miss. And Albert's going to be there, and I won't point out who else. There's a few others of you said you want to get baptized. We're gonna really be enjoying that. Amen? Thank you, God. So let's pray together. And then Rick's going to come up and share a bit of his story too. So many great stories. So many things that God is doing. And we, you know, if we're missing that, we are ungrateful. If we miss what God's doing, the lives that he's changing right in front of our eyes, he's changing those lives. If we miss that, then we're missing the great wonders that God is doing. So thank you, God, that you are a mighty God. Thank you that you care about saving us, that Jesus, you came here to seek and to save the lost. Thank you for Albert and that he turns his life over to you and that we get the privilege of seeing it. We see it before our very eyes, and we can hear, if we listen carefully, the angels resounding in that choir, that heavenly choir. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We want to give everything to you today. We pray that you will just receive the praise from us, that you will show us how real you are, that you will take care of the broken things in our lives, and that you'll remind us that you make all things new, that you're making Albert a brand new person. And that's true for all of us because of the blood of Jesus. We repent of our sins and we turn to you. And you say that that's all we need to do. We can't be saved by anything we do, by any good works, by how much money we give or any of that stuff. There's only one way we can be saved, and it's by the gift. It's by the grace that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that saves us. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Rick, you want to come up? Amen. Yeah. God's doing some amazing things. Give me a hug.
We'll start with that.
All right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rick, and I am a firm believer in Jesus Christ and God. Come on, clap for that. All right. Well, it wasn't always that way. There was time where I didn't really believe in God, didn't really know which way my life was going, didn't have him in my heart, right? So I said a prayer, all by myself. I said, Dear Jesus, Lord, can you please give me the strength and courage to show me what's wrong in my life and what I can do to change it? And it only took a half a minute to say the prayer, and I didn't know if it was going to come true or not, right? Because I still wasn't a firm believer, right? So, I'm all by myself. Wife and kids are gone camping. Decided to do drugs and drink and all this kind of terrible stuff. And then in the middle of the night, these entities came. They came through the door. And I was going, I was freaking beyond a little bit. What are you guys doing here? Why are you here? And they said, because of you. They said, because of you. And what do you mean, because of me? And they actually would talk to me, but I started thinking, I'm like, I'm going crazy here because there's these things that I can see and they're trying to talk to me. And yeah, they showed themselves to me and they brought me out of what I was doing and convinced me that it was the best interest in my life to smash that bottle. And I did. I smashed it and they were happy. And no, this carried on for throughout the whole night and they were talking to me. Mostly just answering yes or no questions, but I had to convince myself. They showed me that the power of God is real, and he's everywhere all the time. And so this was good. This was good. And then I believe that the devil may have seen this too. And he thought, these guys are trying to take away, trying to get one on his side, right? So he kind of fought back and brought some other people in, like spirits, like people that were once alive. Maybe they were angels, I don't know. And so there was kind of a battle going on. Battle in my head. What side am I on? What side are they going to get me to? Well, eventually, I ended up in the hospital in a psych ward because everyone thought I was crazy, even me for a bit. But you know what? After that, what taught me was that God is real, because he came and he saved me in the end. And he told me that, I think they were worried because they knew I was thinking about getting baptized and changing my life. And so there was a battle, and sure enough, I went and got baptized, and they don't bother me anymore. Not the bad ones, anyway. And so, do you have one of those Bibles, Stan, that you guys gave me that day? Well, the one that has all the references on it? Oh. No. Well, I forgot it today. Mine. Silly. But in this Bible that you can get at this church here, in the front, there's references. Do you feel afraid, attacked? We'll refer to Salem's, 2 through 10, and they'll give you 3 or 4. Well, that was really helpful, because if you're not familiar with the Bible, right, and you feel attacked or you feel like abusing drugs again or anything like that, what do you do? Just open up the Bible and kind of just randomly read some pages? Well, these references are really key, because you don't have to read the whole Bible. You just... you're feeling like being divorced. There's so many things in there. It's like, when can you not use it? And I wish I brought it, because I could show you it today, and you guys can refer to that, especially anyone who has anything going on in their life, bad, even as good as how to praise. How do you praise? Well, just refer to these few pages, and they'll tell you how to praise. So I want to thank Stan for the opportunity to share this small testimony with you guys. And praise the Lord.
How about if we have a couple of people just pray for you?
I think it's pretty important. You guys want to come, Tim and Barb?
Just, you know what? I don't think there's such a thing as having too much prayer. So I feel like we need to just keep praying for you, Rick. In some ways, this is pretty new, right? You've been a Christian now for a little while, which is great. But, this is, hey, Griff. Kind of like this guy, you're young and you got to grow up. It's going to take time, but it's happening. It's really happening in your life. And I see it. I see it before my very eyes. Every week I see a change. I see you maturing and growing. And you are becoming the man that God wants you to be. So Tim and Barb are going to pray for you.
Rick. Lord, we thank you for this young man, Lord. We just pray, God, that he will stay the course, Lord. That is the hard part. And we just ask, Lord, you would give him strength day by day to walk with you, Lord, and not turn away from you. And when times are troubled, that he will ask his Christian friends for help. And God, that he will just keep referring to that little Bible that he was given. It's a source of life. And we just pray, Lord, that you would direct his life and keep him on the pathway of everlasting life. And the goodness of God will follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, for Rick and just him coming up and being willing to share what you're doing in his life. And Father, I thank you that you're working in all our lives. That everybody here today, God, even when we don't see you working in our life, you are working in our lives. But Father, I thank you that Spirit of the Living God lives in Rick. That Father, that he can come and ask you for help anytime, any moment, and each one of us can. And when we feel overwhelmed, and when we feel that we're going through trials, and that Lord, that just like that song that was sung today, you're a good, good Father. So Father, I pray that you reveal to him even in a deeper way, just how much you love him and how much you want to come alongside him and father him and guide him and help him in his... You're married, right? separated? Okay, but you do have a wife and children? Yeah. So, Lord, he has some children, and I just pray, God, that you'd bring restoration, that, Father, you could bring restoration in his relationship with his children, that, Lord, that you're able to do exceedingly above all that we could ask or think, according to your riches in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we pray restoration in his family, the Lord, that he'd just be able to establish relationship with his children in due time, and that, God, you'd give him peace about that. Amen.
Hey, Satan.
There we go. Okay. I know. It's like we orchestrated this now. Okay. So he uses his voice all through Scripture. He uses his voice. He speaks, and he uses speaking to incite many other people to do many other things. But let's notice, first of all, the source of that voice, that it's a surprising source, that Peter is actually a surprising person through whom Satan would speak. Because Peter, like I said earlier, he was a leader in the church. I mean, this is the man that Jesus was going to build his kingdom on, right? That Peter was the rock. Peter was the friend, right? I mean, you would think that if Satan was going to speak through somebody, he would speak through somebody really evil, somebody who was a terrorist, somebody who was just out to do all kinds of bad things. But that's not what happens here, and it's really important that we note this, because he sometimes does the same thing through our friends, too. That often, as a matter of fact, Satan speaks to us through voices that are familiar, maybe someone that you're married to, or your children, or a good friend. And we don't expect, maybe that's the point, we don't expect to hear him there. We don't expect to hear Jesus coming from those mouths. I don't think that the disciples who heard Jesus say this to Peter, they didn't expect that to happen. They expected, you know, Peter was one of the in crowd, right? Peter was in the inner circle. You don't expect Jesus to rebuke Peter. The point is, boy, we got to be really listening. We've got to be alert that the enemy will speak out of voices that we don't expect at all. Not at all. And as a matter of fact, Peter represents the church, so we have to even take it to the next conclusion, that sometimes the church, if we're honest, over the past hundreds of years, sometimes the message that has come from the church hasn't been the truth. So the enemy will use his voice, and the voice will come from places that are unexpected in our lives. The second thing is that the content of what's being said is also unexpected. What do I mean by that? Well, I kind of mentioned it already. Kind of maybe blew the thunder a little bit. But, you know, I don't think Jesus, he heard those words of Peter. And it was unexpected that would be the enemy speaking in that way. Like, I think that you'd expect that if Satan wanted to say something to Jesus just prior, and this was just prior to him going to the cross, then someone would have said, could have said all kinds of evil and awful things. Jesus, you're a phony. Jesus, you're never going to make it. You're not the Son of God. You are not this, you know. But that's not, so it's an unexpected message, because the message is, like I said earlier, it's exactly what someone in Jesus' situation would have wanted to hear. And here's the danger, and here's what I think we got to really take this to heart today, that sometimes, especially our friends, maybe people we're close to, they're going to tell us the stuff that sounds good to our ears. And Peter, you know, really, Peter was just trying to be nice. I think on one level, do you agree with me? Peter was just trying to be nice. He's taking Jesus aside, and he's going, Jesus, listen to me. I'm with you, man. I'm big and I'm strong. I'm Peter, right? I'll defend you. You're not going to have to go to the cross. And he was saying exactly what Jesus no doubt wanted to hear. There's a part of Jesus that probably wanted to go, really? Man, that would be so great if I didn't have to go to the cross, if I didn't have to carry all that sin, if I didn't have to die and suffer. Sometimes the nice words aren't true. And we get caught up in saying nice things to each other, and sometimes we're afraid to really tell the truth, right? You got a friend, and they're in a marriage problem, and they come, and he comes and talks to you, and our natural inclination is you want to end that conversation by putting your arm around your friend and going, you know, buddy, this is not on you. This is on her. You did everything you could. You're okay in this. You know, she's got to change. She's got to repent. And it's all nice, and it's exactly what it wants to hear, but it isn't the truth. And it's important that we tell the truth, right? It's hard. It's a lot easier to not tell the truth and just be nice. We pray for each other, and we want to be nice. And so we say nice things, you know.
Oh, all your financial problems, they're all going to be fixed real soon. God's going to take care of those things. Well, you know, unless God makes that absolutely clear to you, you should not be saying that. Because even though that's a nice thing to say, it isn't true. You understand? We got to go beyond nice. We got to go beyond nice. And I just confess, I have this in my life. Sometimes I'm dealing with people or I'm counseling someone or we're praying. I want to give them the answers. I want to give, yes, you're going to be healed. Hallelujah. But you know what? Just to say that to be nice isn't helping and it isn't the truth. So the point is that when the enemy, when Satan speaks, when he whispers, he'll often whisper niceties. He'll often tell us the things that our itching ears want to hear. And we need to stand against that. If we're going to be the true church, we need to stand against it and be bold enough to just tell each other the truth. And sometimes the truth is, I don't know. I don't know. What's going to happen, you know? What's going to happen with my finances? What about a job? Am I going to get a job? What about the sickness? I don't know. But I will pray. I know who knows. I will pray, and I'll tell you the truth. I'll be with you. I know 100 other people that will be with you. We're going to stand with you, Elp. We're going to be there. I don't know how hard it's going to be. I'm not. If I stand here today and say, you know what? This is going to be so easy. Everything is done. Hallelujah. You know that's not true, and it's just another way to lie. It's a nice lie, and nice lies are maybe the worst. Maybe the worst. And you're going down a different road. You gave your life to Jesus today. So, you know, you can clap to that. That's okay. So we don't make things up, but we just tell the truth. Here's what God does say, Albert. God does say that when you ask, you'll receive. That when you knock, the door will be open. And when you seek, you will find. That's what God does say. And God does promise that he'll be with you always. He doesn't promise that every day is going to be easy. He doesn't promise that there won't be people against you. He doesn't promise that every brokenness is going to be turned into something wonderful. But he promises to be with you. Are you following me? Do you get this one? Right? So I'm glad that we're all nice people. And again, this does not give you permission or license to go out and be mean to one another. You don't go home and say, guess what? Pastor Stan said we're being too nice, so we're going to start being a lot more mean to each other. And I got a few people. Man, there's a couple ladies here I've been waiting to tell a few things to. That's not what Pastor Stan is saying, okay? We still need to speak the truth in love, the Bible says, right? But we need to speak the truth. And we need to all be aware that sometimes the things that we're hearing that we really want to hear may not come from God. And that is why every one of you who's a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You've accepted Christ into your heart. You have the Holy Spirit in you. John tells us that Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So you know the truth. How many of us haven't had this before where someone's praying over you or someone says something nice or kind to you and you just know it's garbage? You know it's not true. You know all that sounds really good and they get to walk away thinking that they've really helped you. You know that's just a bunch of garbage, right? But you know how you know that? It's because you have the Holy Spirit in you and it's more important that we listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Amen? All right. And then one last thing about that voice of the enemy is the rebuke that Jesus gives. That it's, you know, it's almost, and there are commentators who write about this and they can't understand. Why does Jesus overreact to this? Why does he embarrass his disciples? Why does he point to Peter and say, "Get behind me, Satan"? Are you kidding me? You keep treating your friends like that, Jesus, and there'll be no one around to help you move the piano. You know, like it seems like he's overreacting, but he's not, because, as I said earlier, Peter had been given the authority. Peter had been given the keys, and he was irresponsible with it. And sometimes, as hard as this is, sometimes we just need to say, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. I know you think you're my friend. I know you think we're journeying this journey together. I know you think we're on the same page, but we are not. The advice you give me, the counsel you give me, the friendship you give me isn't helping me. And maybe some of you guys, some of us, we have friends like that in our lives. And it's time for us, and this is really, really hard. So bear with me here. But there may be a time in our life where we need to walk ahead and we say to someone, you get behind me. And what we're really saying is you no longer have permission to walk alongside of me. I am not walking alongside of you anymore. I am going to walk alongside of Jesus, and I'm going to walk alongside of brothers and sisters who will be truthful with me and who will not just be nice and who will walk in integrity and in humility. Amen? And that's hard, but really, literally, this is what Jesus was saying to Peter. He was saying, get behind me, Satan. He's saying it to Satan. Get behind me? You're behind me. And by the way, he wasn't afraid of having Satan behind him. I like that. You know, usually, if you got an enemy, I don't want him behind me. You go somewhere else. Jesus is saying to Satan, I'm not afraid of you at all. You can hit me from behind. There's nothing you can do. I am the Christ. I am the Lord of Lords. Get behind me. Get behind me. And there's a good message in this that we're going to journey together. We're going to walk along this road together. We need to be true brothers and sisters together. And sometimes we're dealing with some people, and maybe they're just full of judgment, or maybe they're really critical, or maybe they're leading us. Hear me now. Maybe there's a friend that's leading you down the wrong road. You know who that person is. You need to be bold and brave enough to say, get behind me. You no longer may walk with me. I am walking here with Jesus, and I'm going to include Gertie and Garth and Kara and others who really are my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Micah, I'm going to end on this note, but in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, we get that great Old Testament promise, or it's an admonition, it's a word of truth, and it says, what do I need to do to really please God? What must I do? He says, you need to act justly. You need to love mercy. And you need to walk humbly with your God. The key, and this is a key that the disciple Peter needed to learn, was all those things, but maybe particularly to walk humbly with his God. Peter needed to learn about pride. How many of us have had to learn about pride? Arrogance. We're walking down that road, we're thinking we're just, you know, we're really something. And you got people walking beside you, and they're telling you, man, you're really something. I go, yeah, I know. No, you're really something. No, you're really something. No, you're, you know, like that's not helping. It's not the truth. We need to walk humbly with our God. And God is teaching us humility. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are going through it. I'm going through it. Teaching us to be humble. Teaching us that it's our pride, it's our arrogance that has caused us to stumble, and that to really walk with Jesus, to walk alongside of him, I need to walk humbly with my God. In Peter, in his letter, Peter learned humility. In 1 Peter, he says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Peter learned that firsthand. He learned it from experience. And my brothers, my sisters, this is God's word for us today. Sometimes we need to say, get behind me. Because I'm going to walk with my Jesus. And I'm going to walk, I'm learning again to walk in humility. I'm learning to humble my heart. I'm learning to love mercy and to act injustice, against injustice. And I'm learning to walk humbly before my God. Jabin, you want to come up, and we're going to close with this song. And it's all about the Holy Spirit. The only way that any of this happens in our lives is if we are led by the Holy Spirit. The great, I mean, isn't this, I get excited about this, but isn't the greatest thing in the New Testament that God the Father has given us his Holy Spirit so that we can be led, right? I know the truth. You know, you don't need me in many, many ways. You don't need me to tell you the truth. You know the truth. If you read the word, it's in your heart. We are praying today. And I'm asking you, maybe I'm challenging you to pray with me. Lead, Holy Spirit. Lead my life. Lead my marriage. Lead me as a father and as a grandfather. Lead me as a friend. Lead me in honesty and in integrity that I might walk humbly before my God. I need you, Holy Spirit, to lead me. Can you say amen? Okay, Jay, you want to just do it, just sing it, and we'll join you after you've done it once. The front is open. If you want to come for prayer, maybe there's someone in your life that you know you got to talk to. Maybe you need to make that statement in your life, get behind me, Satan, because there's some way that he's got his claws into you. Maybe your marriage has gone through a real hard thing, or you got a relationship that seems like the wheels have fallen off. Like we said earlier to Albert, there's only one answer. And that is Jesus Christ in me as I am led by the Spirit of God. You can come for prayer. Anyone who needs prayer, just come.
Nothing worth more will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen. Sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit. This place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.